I do leave for Mexico tomorrow. I just want to ask that you keep me in prayer. It's a missions trip to get the gospel out, amen, to get a radio station, over 20-some million people, and there's not a full-time radio station. I want to start a radio station where there's an hour from midnight to 4 where it plays youth music and says, if you want to commit suicide, call in. Where a housewife can be playing the music and she hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not leading them to a church, it's leading them to a person. You know, when Paul wrote the books, it was the church, the letter to the church in Corinth. It was never the book of Corinthians. It was a letter to the church in Ephesus. And the book of Revelation is not the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's still the revelation we carry today. It's not about the Antichrist or the end times. Those are parts and pieces, but the center is Jesus. And it should always be, even in a revival, it's Jesus. It's not the manifestations. It's not even the healings. It's Jesus. Those things are signed to point. That's why they call them a sign. It's not a stop sign. It's a sign that points to Jesus. And what happens is we stop there at a sign. Great revivals have stopped because they have stopped at a sign. Tremendous denominations have stopped and they keep talking in history. The Methodist Church is not the Methodist Church that Wesley wanted. It is stopped there. And you go back in history, it just becomes a history lesson. We do not want a revival in Fort Bend County that becomes a history lesson. We want it to be a sign this way to Jesus. When they went to John the Baptist, they said, who are you? That's what people say. Who are you, Epicenter? Who are you, Pastor Allen? Who are you, Dan? Who are you? And they came to John and says, define who you are. Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? And he simply said, I am a voice making way in the wilderness, a voice this way to Jesus. John was the last sign. Jesus says there was no one greater than John. How could that be? John never did any miracles, and yet Jesus said there was no one greater. Think about that. We talk about miracles and signs in this one. John didn't do one miracle, and Jesus says, of the born of women, there's none greater. Why? Because he was a sign this way to Jesus. That's what we are, people. We are pointing to Jesus, not a person, not a gifting, not an anointing, not a revival. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen? You know, we make that prayer on earth as it is in heaven. If you read Revelation, what is it about? The throne, Jesus. It's not about angels and cherubs. It's about Jesus. All they keep holy, 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 holy. It's about the throne. It's about the Father. It's about the Spirit. Amen? And that's what we're about. So when they say epicenter, it's a sign. This way to Jesus. This way to Jesus. When he heals you, it's his goodness and his mercy. This way to Jesus. People have, you can get healed and not go to heaven. It needs to point you to the Savior. You can have a prophetic word over your life and not go to heaven. Many have. But it's to point you to Jesus. He gives you prophetic words because you can see He knows you, he loves you, he cares for you, and yet they stay at the prophetic word. I have a prophetic word, and they never go to heaven. Friends, that's not what it's called to be. We're going to point away to Jesus, amen? So I want to talk about two things today. One has a warning, and one has an invitation. And the first one is a warning, because I believe signs, wonders, miracles, encounters are going to increase in this place, amen? People are going to have encounters, and see, so many times you have this side that says, you know, those things are no more. We have the word. Then you have this side that says, everything that happens is of God. And then you have those that say, we need a balance. Well, really we need truth, because truth may be more over here. And for you, that's not a perfect balance. Truth does bring balance, but it may not be totally in the middle. So if you don't think things are happening, you need to come more this way. But if you think everything's from God and we need to focus on that, you need to come more this way. So it's not just about balance. It's about truth. It's what the Bible says. Amen? Now, for months, I've been thinking about this. This is not about a conversation I had with anybody. This is not about an encounter or experience that someone's told me that I'm trying to discount that. No, in fact, some of us went to hear Bill Johnson, who I love, Friday night. And Bill Johnson says awesome things. He goes, I don't seek those things, but I don't ignore them. See, we seek Jesus, and I love that. I don't seek him, but I don't ignore him. Their church has had glory clouds in it. I mean, amazing stuff. But he says, I don't seek him, but I don't ignore it. We don't make that the focal point. It's about Jesus. He even said one time, he was preaching, he goes, you know, it just hit me again. It's about Jesus. Sometimes I just like, okay, it's still about Jesus. Friends, it's still about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, there's a scarlet cord that runs through that, and it's about Jesus. It's still about Jesus. It never is not about Jesus. It's still about Jesus. It's a continued thing from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. The Father, see, they're not like us, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. They're not like people when someone gets glory they think about. The Father loves to shower glory on his Son. In fact, the Bible says the Father has given all judgment to the Son, and then it gives why. So though they honor the Father, will honor the Son in like manner. See, So how would this be? So I started thinking about all the angels, because this is a revelatory church, right? We believe in manifestations. And if you don't know what that is, it's simply when the Spirit of God comes on people, sometimes they react in a way that they wouldn't normally react. Some people fake it, yes. But there's the real. There's the real when your body can't take it. There's the real. I mean, I've been with people, and I didn't feel anything, but I've taken them home, and I knew it was a holy moment. And I've taken them to their house, and, you know, okay, and I give them a ride home. And because I don't discount those things. Those things are real. I desire those things, but I'm not going to stop at those things. Your experience is not the experience. Your experience doesn't change the direction of the church. Be careful. Some of the hardest people to pastor are revelatory pastor because they think it's so important. Friends, it's not the thing. It's still Jesus. It's still about Jesus. It's not about your experience. Months will pass. You know, all those experiences people talk about, you know how many days they have that are just normal? They don't feel anything. In fact, they don't even feel saved sometimes. And it's still about Jesus. See, that's the focal point. Whether we feel it or not, he's still on the throne. Whether we like it or not, he's still real. Whether we like it or not, while you're sleeping, there's girls and boys and men and women still getting saved all around the world. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. You do. Men have limits. He doesn't. Revivals have tops. He doesn't. He's everlasting and everlasting and everlasting. The great men and women have gone, but he's still alive today working on you. See, he's not looking in the past to say, what can I do? God's looking right now with what I got to do what I've called to do. See, we talk about it. We talk about them, but we need to talk about Jesus. I love all those people, those revivalist friends, but it's not a history lesson just to park there. It's to fuel you. Don't park there. It's to fuel you. All the mistakes they've made, you don't need to make. You can take the good and spit out the bad. Amen. So I started thinking, how is it that Lucifer deceived the angels? Because we talk about experiences and then we come in. How is it that a third of the angels were deceived and they were in the glory all the time? They saw the throne. I'm not talking about a day or 3 days or 4 days or how many long these experiences. I'm not talking about waves of experiences. I'm talking about that's all they ever known, and yet they were deceived. That's all they ever knew. Access to the throne. Everything you describe in Revelation, they saw, but yet they were deceived. And if you don't think because you had a revelation, an experience, you can be deceived already, there's an entrance point for possible deception. Already, I'm special. See, I'm special because I had an experience. And those angels weren't special. Friends, he changed the focus. I will be like the Most High. See, he changed the focus. Anytime something changes the focus, you need to align yourself. And Satan will come in and do manifestations. Why? To change the focus. People will want the mic to change the focus from God to them, from God to a manifestation, from God to angels, from God to experiences. They're all just created beings called to minister to us. One day we will judge them. Now I'm going to be easy on my angels. I'm going to show mercy. Where mercy is shown, mercy is given. Remember that. Show mercy to people. Don't ever throw someone away because they did. You never know. People threw the Apostle Paul away. So how could it be? Jesus says, then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Didn't even say demons, even though they are. It's his angels. See, a third, deceived. So how could it be? They were in the glory. They saw everything, and yet they were deceived. Don't think because we have manifestations and revival, there can't be deception. There can be. We still need to focus on Jesus. Those things do not keep you. In fact, if you study history, some of the greatest people that have moved in the greatest signs, wonders, miracles, interaction with angels ended up in heresy and great deception. Why? Because the focus changed. Ah, here comes super so-and-so. See, revival is coming, but one of the things with revival that's going to come that hasn't been in a lot of places is discernment. See, we need discernment with manifestations. No, that's demonic. That's this. No, sit down. I was in a place where this young kid starts to get the mic. Everybody's at the altar. It sounded real good. The pastor goes, sit down. And it was right because all of a sudden the focus changed. See, what does Satan want to do? He wants to change. He's always trying to grab the glory from God. Remember, it's the glory of God, not the glory of man, not the glory of a church. It's not the glory of Bethel. It's not the glory of Bill Johnson. It's not the glory of Patricia King, Elijah, Isaiah. It's God. It's the glory of God. And we need to remember when God fills this place and touches people's lives, that's what we want. Amen? We're able to get saved, healed, delivered. They can do all at the same moment. We still need to focus on God. People want to talk about their experiences. That's great. There will be people that come in with an experience that have no knowledge of the word. It doesn't mean there's no error in their life. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I was in California. I had this friend. He was 6 foot seven. I love amen to tall friends, eh? He was 6 foot seven. He was an atheist, not agnostic, atheist. He was actually genius level. He would write papers in college. Even though I'm not a Christian, I benefit from a Christian society. They don't murder. He's just a brilliant guy. Well, he'd smoke weed. And I'd say, David, you know, he knew I was a Christian, so he'd always try to challenge me. He'd say, oh, I said, David, I says, I don't care. I says, how safe they say it is. I go, marijuana kills your brain cells. I told him, because I knew everything. You know, I was in my 20s. I said, marijuana kills your brain cells. This is for Google. Dude, it's good. So I would talk to him. He knew I went to the, finally, it was a Sunday night. I go, I'm going to church tonight. He goes, yeah, I want to go. Of all the nights, David, God set you up. So there's David, the atheist, 6 foot seven. And Dr. Don Treadway, I'll never forget it. The guy's 5 foot four with shoes, big shoes. He's 5 foot four with big shoes. And he starts laying and people ministering and they start getting slain. You know, some people fake it, but this was real people. He just had an anointing on his life. He was just a humble man. I don't know what doctor, I think he was a theologian doctor. He would just preach at the church once in a while, fivefold. He wasn't. And there's David watching it. And he's like, he goes up there and he goes like this. Puts 1 foot in front. He puts 1 foot in front of him and 1 foot behind him. I'm like, dude, he couldn't push you over with a running start. So he lays his hands on David, and bam, he went down. Not a little, not a drop, not a stumble, not a bend over, not a whoa, a bam. And he says, I don't know what God's doing, son, but he's healing your brains. I don't know what you've been doing, but God's been healing your brain cells right now. I don't know what you've been doing, son. So David gets up. Did he have an experience? Did he have an encounter? Did he know everything about the Word? Week later, I show up at church with my Bible. He comes up to me and goes, I'm the root of David. I'm the lion of the tribe of Judah. David had an experience, but I had the Word. Dr. Don Treadway laid hands on me. I didn't feel a thing. Doesn't mean God wasn't there. Doesn't mean I was bad. Don't ever think you're special because you have an experience. I love what God said. He was a prophet that he's gone now, and I love him. And God showed up in his bedroom one night, and he says when Jesus showed up, he goes, everything was too high. Everything was too high. Even the bed was too high. I had to get on my face. And he told me, he says, you're not special. You're no more special than the janitor. It's just a call I've given you. We elevate people. And Satan still wants to elevate people. I will be like the Most High. And your experience and your revelation and your wisdom, we elevate them. Friends, when you get past God, you are not like the Most High. Here's one. So I said, David, I said, you're not the root of David. I said, that's Jesus. I go, you're not the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Jesus. I thought, oh, my gosh. My mind, I'm like, okay, and I just prayed for him. Well, later he got out of it. He came to me and goes, man, I can't believe I was thinking that. But think how real that was to him because he had an experience and I didn't. Friends, we still need the Word. You never get away from the Word. It's Jesus. It's not your experience. That's just a slight example because people that were used in signs, there's people with great healing ministries that can't teach the Word. And everybody thinks because there's miracles, what they teach is true. Friends, you can have miracles, signs, wonders. You can yell at your wife and preach a good sermon. That doesn't end. The kips and gallings are without repentance. We still need to focus on Jesus. Revival comes. People get changed. But that is not the focus. Change is the focus. Why did, you know, I hear people say, you know, God still has you alive on earth to preach the gospel. No. Preaching the gospel is not the end. It's a means to the end. It's so they know him. It's about knowing him. He created people to know him, not for you to do ministry. He did not create for you to do for ministry. Ministry is the end to know him. It's for people to know him, to know him. He wants heaven full of people that know him. Amen? So it says in Jude, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great, but left their own abode. It's a place. All I'm saying is it has a place that he's assigned. It's not a greater place. It's not a lesser place. It's not a bigger place. And John, why are you saying this? Because this comes a warning. You know, when they walked into the promised land, God says, don't forget, Dan, if you could put the scriptures up, please. And then we'll go to the next subject. When he talked into the promised land, he says, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. God gave him a warning. And he wasn't saying, I'm not going to give you this. He's saying, here, I want to give you this, but here's a warning. God wants to give us a revival, but a warning. You guys understand what I'm saying? So it's a warning. Why? So he can actually give you more, not less. So you can actually handle it, not less. So we know how to steward it, not less. So all of a sudden, it's not about the manifestations. Did you feel God? Did you have a manifestation? No. Do you know him? You can come in here and have a manifestation, walk out, not know him. Another kid comes down, doesn't feel God. Pastor Allen says something from the pulpit. All of a sudden, he gets revelatory. All of a sudden, he knows him. It's about knowing him. It's not about manifestations. It's not about shakings. It's not even about healings or prophecy. It's about knowing him. All those things are signs, signs and wonders. Wonders. What do we wonder about? His majesty, his goodness, his mercy. Not your anointing, not your call. Not that. Those things, we make those things God. And he warns you, I'm taking you to this land, epicenter, I'm taking you to revival, epicenter. The women talked about it, prayer talked about it. Pensacola, Pastor John, Phil Patrick, great, great revival. God says, I want you to stop the Friday night services and I want you to do prayer meetings. He had flags all around the church. People hated it. And he goes, all of a sudden I saw people gathering under the revival flag. There was a revival. Why? When Steve Hill showed up, prayer bathed it already. Don't think when revival breaks out, it's some mysterious thing. Prayer, babe. Every great revival has started with prayer. First from heaven, then to earth. There's been housewives that have prayed for revival that have had no credit, and they've actually opened up the heavens. But heaven knows who they are. Prayers, prayers, prayers is what's opened up. I'll take one intercessor over 1,000 preachers any day. So it's coming, and it's coming in greatness. But we're not to make that the great thing. Amen? 40 people got slain. How many know him? Bill Johnson, some of us went Friday night. I love Bill Johnson, and I'm for all this. He says, you know, people shake on the floor for 2 hours. When you get up, it needs to transform where you go. It just can't be shaking. And God always has a purpose in that. I believe God's doing great works. There's people that have laughter, that have had sorrow their whole life. I had a friend. He was so straight-laced. Minister came. He laughed. He touched me. Nothing happened. I don't care. I saw him laughing. I knew God was ministering to him. And he was doing something in his heart. Friends, and a lot of times God does inner healing in people, and we just see the manifestations. And God doesn't say, this is what I'm doing. He just does it. And the kids, it'll affect the kids and everything. Amen? So it's coming in great, great measure. At the same time, we need to still consider him great. Amen? It's not our focus. It's not our focus. There'll be times we're just teaching, and the word was good. We don't go, oh, that was a bad service. No, it wasn't, because you know him more from the teaching. It's about knowing him. That's the goal, knowing him. It's not about just feeling him. It's about knowing him. Do you know him? Jesus said, this is eternal life. I'm going to give you the definition Jesus gave, not Reinhard, not Billy Graham, not John Archer. What did Jesus say? This is eternal life, not living forever, knowing the true God. That is eternal life, knowing him. Everybody lives forever. It's knowing him, knowing him. Do you know him? That's the warning. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I'm not against it. I'm not preaching against it. I'm for it. I'll be there. Bill Johnson, Reinhard, whatever. Sabata mentions these ministers I don't know. Manifestations, I go. But I don't make that the key. I can still listen to a teacher and appreciate him and go, you didn't give me the fuzzies. No, friends, you gave me knowledge that I could know him more. Because guess what? This two-hour meeting is gone. It's still me and Jesus. It's still me and Jesus. It's still me and Jesus. Reinhard's not going home with me. Mahesh isn't going home with me. They're not constantly ministering to me. Bill Johnson doesn't even know who I am, but I know Jesus. That's the key. It's Jesus. When I'm sick, when I'm in Murray, when we want revival, I'm not calling Bill Johnson. I'm going to the throne room. I'm not going to Michael. I'm not going to Gabriel. I'm going to Jesus. Jesus paved the way. When he died, the veil was ripped and the Spirit was released. Not manifestations, not this, the Spirit. And with that comes those things, but we don't make those the key. He's the key. What's it about? Jesus. The Holy Spirit points to him. The Father points to him. Friends, he did what no one else did. A man didn't die for you. God came down from heaven, clothed himself in humility, became a man, and an angel didn't do that. No minister did that to you. Jesus, let's not get it twisted. Great manifestations, great healings, but our focus will be Jesus. Well, who are you guys? We're a sign. This way to Jesus. This way to Jesus. So come, there'll be some that come for a little while, won't be members, they'll be touched, they'll go out into the world and then minister Jesus, and with that we greatly rejoice. And we won't know the full effects till we get to heaven what the epicenter has truly done. Amen? So the first is a warning, the second is an invitation. Pastor Easy preached a couple weeks ago, and some of you weren't here, and some of you are. I'm going to explain what he was saying. He has a friend named Perry. Some of you know who he is. And Perry says, tell him, Easy, tell him about the sevenfold. Perry, years ago, he's a successful businessman, and years ago, somebody stole money from him. Well, instead of getting angry and bitter, he forgave him, and he went to God and says, sevenfold return. Well, since that, he's had more than sevenfold. And I really believe, like, God wants to do, if you're visiting, you can jump in on this, amen? I feel like God wants to do something in this church. This is not a message I'm taking out. And I realize the sevenfold is about a thief being literally caught. He has to pay. But if God wants to apply that scripture to your life about relationships, time, money, why not? Why not? Well, I've never heard about it. People never heard about manna until it happened. I know people didn't hear about rain until it happened. And so God wants us to enter into, because there was a depth. So Pastor Easy talked about it, things on the surface. I want to dig again because I think there's some things under the surface for us. Otherwise, it's just a testimony about one of Easy's friends. That's great. He got sevenfold. That's not why he shared the story. It's to activate you. See, there's some things in the kingdom that just happened. Let me give you an example. Friday, I went to get my oil changed, and I'm in a hurry. I'm leaving for Mexico. I got a lot to do. I'm going to see Bill Johnson that night. I'm in a hurry. I pull up. And I get this young kid, he's got tats, and we just start talking. You know me, I was going to ask him questions. We start talking, and he starts talking, and then he leans over to the thing, he goes, you got time to talk? All the guys are working but my kid. The one that's really in a hurry. They're all, bzz, bzz, bzz. He's all, you got time to talk? I said, sure, why? Because I cared about him. So we start talking about God and his life and second chances. And all of a sudden he goes, I'm going to work on your car now. I said, okay. Bzz, bzz, bzz. I'm like, I'm going to give this guy a tip, brought some cash out. He goes, this one's on me, man, go ahead. I said, I have some cash. He goes, he wouldn't take it. He stepped back. He goes, this one's on me, man. I said, I'm going to come back and give you something. I have a book for him I want to give him. I was looking for the Epicenter cards. I told him Epicenter.live and all this stuff. Driving away, God reminded me something. I did something in the last couple of weeks. And I didn't do it to get something, but God was just saying, this is for that. This is for that. There are those things in the kingdom that just happened, but there's other things that are invitation that need our activation. So this message is not about sowing and reaping. This message is your faith activating the sevenfold return. This message is about God. We talk about signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, God wants to sovereignly in this place bring back sevenfold to people that have lost. If you're in a relationship that took years off your life or time and broke your heart, he wants to give you sevenfold return. If you lost money, he wants to give you seven back, and not just the amount of money, but the impact it would have had, sevenfold return. See, and you can say, well, I've never seen it. I've never done it. Friends, people have never seen lots of things until it happened. We just talked about that. Manna, which your fathers did not know, but there was manna. When they ate the manna, it didn't matter that their fathers didn't know it. Maybe your family never walked into it. Maybe you've never heard about it. This is not, give me $1,000 and I'm going to give you $7,000. This is God, Epicenter, I want to bless. Revivals that should have happened, I want to give you sevenfold return. Healings, I've prayed for people and they died. I want a sevenfold return. Not just seven people that get healed. I'm talking about seven times the power, anointing, miracles, signs, why? To point to Jesus, sevenfold. The things, revivals that were aborted because people made wrong decisions, not leadership. We want a sevenfold return. Return. Relationships that you've given your heart for, now you look at the gender of the opposite sex, you're a little jaded. God wants to give you a sevenfold return. I'm not talking about your current spouse. So there's that. And then there's, because Jesus talked about a hundredfold return. So we can believe for a seven. Now it says with persecution, so I don't want to just limit the word. He says anybody that's given father and mother will have in this life a hundredfold. You know how crazy that sounds? But Jesus said it. Whatever Jesus says is true. Whatever Jesus says, I'm going to believe. I don't know about that minister and that minister. I got to go home and weigh the word, even though I felt good about it. What does Jesus say about it? So in this place, in a moment, we're going to pray. But I want you guys, this is not, drove away from the guy that got my oil changed. John, this is for what you do. This is, I need your participation. There's things in the kingdom. See, first was a warning. This one's an invitation. There's some things, people, there's healing. You can get saved and not healed. It's an invitation. You have to go over here and go, okay. Now, people can get saved and healed the same day, even though they're not. But for the most part, you have to know. Now, people perish for lack of knowledge. And the first thing you need to know about the thief is you were ripped off. It wasn't karma. It wasn't life. There's no spirit called karma walking around. You were ripped off. Decisions of your own, other decisions, what people did to you, took your innocence. You were ripped off. The enemy came in, and you can say, now, talking about what happens, not believing. Getting angry about what happened is not believing. Believing's believing. Talking about what they did is not believing. Saying how much it hurt you is not believing. Giving the note what you lost is not believing. Believing is believing. Talking about how you would have did things different is not believing. God wants to activate us today. today, not next week, not tomorrow. See, Pastor's easy message was for the church. And I go, man, we missed it. And God kept reminding me, so we're going to dig again, okay? We're going to pray again. But it can't be just me praying for you. That's not the way it's going to work. That's not what's happening today. I'm not calling you up. I'm not prophesying over you. I'm not laying hands on you. You need to go, God, this was stolen from me. You're not going to Satan. You're not declaring, God, this was stolen from me. And I believe you for the sevenfold return. We talk about signs. We talk about wonders. We talk about miracles. It's a miracle that sevenfold comes back in your life. Every time someone shut a door, Tori, sevenfold return. Why not? Every time someone says, I don't want your business, sevenfold return. Why not? Why not you? Why not now? God's given the invitation, all who come and eat, but it has to be you. You have to decide. So stand up if you want a sevenfold return on anything that was ever stolen in your life. Every wrong relationship, every finance, every time you shared the gospel and they spit at you, sevenfold return. Father, I thank you today for that story, Lord. Perry said, tell them easy, tell them easy, tell them easy, tell them easy. I thank you for the sevenfold return, God, coming down on our lives. I thank you for this church, God, a sevenfold revival. I thank you for a sevenfold revival, God. I thank you for sevenfold in signs, wonders, miracles, sevenfold in crowd. Every time someone was plucked out by Satan, God, I thank you for a sevenfold return. Sevenfold, yes, of revelation, but a sevenfold arrow saying this way to Jesus. God, I thank you for turning this revival up seven times the sound. We will make a sound. We will make a sound, Epicenter. Lord, send it up seven times, God, seven times, God, seven times, from the worship team, from the preaching team, from the people, from the ministers, from the jobs, from the businesses. God, I thank you for sevenfold, sevenfold, sevenfold. It wasn't a cute little story. Jesus used to tell stories, and they used to discount it. He's just a carpenter's son. No, it's just Easy's friend. It's not just Easy's friend. He's not just a carpenter's son. It's for you to grab on. But this is not just sowing and reaping. You must activate your faith today. What have been ripped off in your life that you want a seven?